For those of you that are following up this series of sermons, we are now on our third week on this series entitled Thrive. As I've said 2 weeks ago, the main goal of this series is really to refresh us and to remind us again about what the Bible says of what it means to be a thriving, a growing church. Because God's desire for His church is to thrive, because this is God's church. And He wants His church to really be a church that makes a difference, a church that truly flourishes, a church that impacts people for the sake of the gospel of Christ. If you remember 2 weeks ago on the first Sunday when we launched this series of sermons, we dwelt on the first most important characteristic of a thriving church, which is modeled after Acts chapter 2. When we talk about that, we said that this band of believers on the Acts chapter 2, they came together and all things that they do is centered around the lordship of Christ. We said on our first series of sermon that the first characteristic of a thriving church, it is a church that should be centered in the lordship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because that's where we are here for. We cannot be the church, a Christian church, if we don't claim Christ to be at the center of everything that we do. And so the following Sunday, last week, we talk about the second most important characteristic of a church that is thriving. And that is a church where everyone, you remember, belongs. Everyone have a sense of belonging, that they are welcomed. And we are already embodying that here at Plank Chapel. So today we're going to talk the third most important characteristic of a church. And that is a church that is what? Unified in mission. Say that with me, church. Unified in mission. Let us pray. Thank you again, Lord, for bringing us here this morning and for this beautiful day. Thank you that you have intersected our lives together in this common place called Plank Chapel. Fill us with your Spirit, O God, that I may be decrease and decrease, so that you may be increase and increase. And may you speak with us with clarity, so that we will leave this place never been the same again. It is in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. A thriving church is a church that is unified in mission. It is a church that is stronger, or it becomes stronger if it is built on purpose. In the book of Acts, there were a band of believers who were not only enjoyed close fellowship to one another, but they shared a common and unified mission. They sell their possessions. They come together in prayer. They gather together, breaking breads, if you remember that. They were able to have fellowship together, all centered into this common mission, a common purpose, and that is to glorify God, and that is to advance the kingdom of God. And they were willing to sacrifice themselves for the sake of that very mission, for the sake of that very purpose. And they were not bogged down with any petty debates and meaningless disputes. And in fact, the Acts chapter 2 says they had all things in common as a result of that. I think that is a blueprint, one of the blueprints of what it means to be a thriving church. A thriving church that share a common mission, a common purpose. That they all, and we all agree what we are here for. Can you imagine Plank Chapel continue on to grow and to thrive and to flourish because we all had all things in common? I remember when the Disney was created, how many of you have been in Disneyland or any other theme parks, Disney Worlds, or other places that perhaps made a lot of change in your life because you've been there when you were young. You know, I remember years and years ago when I was reading something about Walt Disney. He was the one that created the Disney, the Disneyland that was the first thing in Anaheim, California. You've been to Anaheim? Some of you have seen. That was my first Disneyland that I saw. The main goal of Walt Disney is to create a place, the happiest place on earth. That was his main purpose. That was his main mission. And come to think of it, he did follow what he actually said, right? That every time you come in there, every time, every child, young person, whatever age they may be, they always feel and leave that place feeling that they were in the happiest place on earth. Because they were zeroed in on having a clear-cut identity of who they are and what their purpose and what their mission is. If you go to any businesses in America today, when you go to hospitals, when you go to universities or school or colleges, I know Lorraine can attest to that, you will see somewhere in the opening of their entrance the very mission of why they exist. Have you noticed that? When you go to Zeb Vance Elementary School, when you go to all schools here in Vance County or any place, if they know what their purpose is, if they know what their marching order is, you will see them and they were able to articulate that. Because that's very important to any organization, any businesses or any entity for them to thrive and to grow. See, the same too with the church. A church that is thriving, a church that is growing, must have a clear-cut identity. They understand the very reason for their being. When a guest comes to Plank Chapel, what exactly are we going to say when they ask that question? What has God called us to do here? What is the heart and passion of this church? In other words, what is this church marching order? And so when I tried to find out what is our marching order, according to my research, I believe in the last 13 years during Pastor Carolyn's term, they were really not able to create a particular mission statement, according to her. But instead, Plank Chapel adopted the very mission of our denominational mission statement, which is embodied in the Book of Discipline, that reads like this. The very mission of the denomination of our church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's the one that we have adopted here at Plank Chapel. And this was based on the Great Commission, the text that we all just have read together, the text on Matthew chapter 28. So this is now our marching order. Our marching order, and you say this with me, to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Can you say that with me, church? To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For the transformation of the world. I invite you to say that with me because I want us to keep on remembering what it is. And I'm going to unpack to you what exactly that looks like. So when we hear that particular marching order to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, what exactly the Bible says about this, as reflected on Matthew 28. There are three things that I want to share this morning, what I believe God is telling us based from Matthew 28. First, He calls us, every one of us, He calls us to share Christ to others. Can you say that with me, church? Share Christ to others. Everything Jesus did while He was walking on earth, and He walked for how many years? 3.5 years. That's how many years He walked. Well, actually, it's more than that, but the 3.5 years is the most mostly recorded in the scriptures, because there were silent years when he was growing up on earth, like when he was a child, a young, you know, a teenager. But mostly when he walked on earth, his always goal is to reach out to other people. He engages himself in dealing with those who are the lost. What else? The last and the least. He engages with people that nobody could ever imagine. People who are misfits. People what we call rascals. People who are on the peripheries of life. You can always imagine the spectrum of those people that are invited into the table. People that have no idea that they would be part of this movement called the Jesus movement. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be what? My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That word witnesses means to share Christ to others. Our purpose is to look ways to reach out to someone who had no relationship at all with God and to win them for Christ. In fact, the Gospel of Luke articulately says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. You cannot save them if you don't seek them. So to share Christ is to meet people where they are. And the best way to do that is to meet people in places that you always go every day. What are those places, church? You go to sports, you go to health club, you go to the restaurants, you eat outside, you go to school. What else? You go to the doctor's appointment. What else that you... Walmart, yeah, grocery stores, different places. That's the first arena of how we can share Christ to others. Would you get out from your comfort zone and try to build intentional bridges into the lives of the people that God has given you for you to reach? Remember that you might be the only person that God is using at that moment for you to share Christ with others. You know, I'm amazed on how God is continually blessing this church. Because every time I visit people here, they always keep on telling me, well, I've been visited by so-and-so and a member of our church. You are already embodying that. How you share Christ boldly to others and doing whatever it takes to build that relationships. And that leads me to the second point. The Bible further reminds us in the Great Commission that not only that our purpose of the church does not end in just sharing Christ and winning souls, but the second purpose of a thriving church embodied in this mission is what? Make disciples. Say that with me, church. Make disciples. The Great Commission did not say make members, right? It says what? Go and make disciples. Many years ago, when I was at the connectional table in the conference, there was a big discussion about what a disciple looks like. When you talk about a disciple of Christ, what exactly that looks like? And here's how it was captured. A disciple of Christ is someone who is becoming more and more like Jesus. A disciple of Jesus Christ is someone who is embodying the fruit of the Spirit. And what are the fruit of the Spirit? Patience, love, generosity, kindness, self-control. All these fruits of Spirit that is being embodied by someone in the family, someone that we know. And some of you are here already embodying that. The goal of and the purpose of the church is to make disciples. And how does that look like? A disciple best happens in relationships. the book of Acts, this band of Christians that I've said on Acts chapter 2, what they do? They devoted themselves in apostles' teaching and fellowship. They broke bread together, and what did they do? They prayed together. They were able to really form discipleship based on relationships. They hang out together. They taught the importance of what it means to receive the Holy Supper. And I believe that's how it is even today. Discipleships are being formed mostly in relationships. Because the goal of Christian life is to know Christ and to be like Christ. Amen? The goal is to become more and more like Jesus. And to use the words of Apostle Paul in Galatians when he said this. Well, actually he said in Corinthians, all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed in the same image. In other words, our goal as a church is to really form disciples. Produce disciples. So that we can be able to be in the image of Christ. So what's the first thing again? Share Christ with what? To others. Make disciples. And the last important purpose of the church, as reflected here in the Great Commission, is that we are called to transform the community and the world. Say that with me, church. Transform our community and the world. I want to invite us all, if you look at the back of the bulletin, just go at the back of the bulletin and read with me what it says here at the end after the congregational response. There's a little phrase there, two sentences. It's an italics. Read that with me. Our service of worship has ended. Our worship through service begins. What does that mean? That means that if we are reaching out, winning people to Christ, and growing as disciples of Christ, we are also a church that send out the same disciples to do the ministry into the world. As what the saying goes, we are gathered on Sunday morning only to be scattered into the world. We do not leave our own transformed life here inside this building. We are being sent out into the world to impact the world for the sake of the gospel of Christ. How does that look like here at Plank Chapel? How does that look like when it comes to going out into the world? Perhaps it begins by showing kindness to someone, or meeting people where they are, or trying to do service ministry. Perhaps it can be bigger than that by being engaged in doing the work of justice and mercy, dealing with the challenges that we face as a nation and as a world. And Plank Chapel is already doing that. You are already embodying what it means to be the hands and feet of Christ. But we can do more. And we can do that if we are all unified ourselves in our mission. So today, church, the Word of God challenges us to consider all of this and what it means for us to be a church that has a clear-cut identity, a sense of our mission and purpose. It is my hope and my prayer that we are not just going to say this is our mission, but rather live out this mission every day of our lives. And it begins now for you and for me. Let us pray. Oh, thank you, God, for the gift of your great commission. For you promise us that even though this will require a hard work to share Christ, to make disciples, and to transform the world, that very great commission promises us that you are not going to leave us behind. In fact, you promises us the work of your Holy Spirit, that you will teach us so that we can obey everything that you have commanded us. Thank you, God. Thank you for this promise to go and make disciples of all nations. And thank you, God, for reminding us today what it means to have a unified mission. I pray, Lord, that this church will continue to capture and be in unity and in one accord to do your work as we impact our community and our world today. For your sake, we offer these prayers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen.